The show is called Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And our program today will include a conversation with John Banky, who is director of the Alleluia Ringers from Concordia University in Wisconsin. They're going to be playing in Decatur tonight at 7:30. And I'll also be talking with Jody Prosser, who is going to be co-directing a summer camp for youth in musical theater from June 6th through the 21st. It's going to 24th, sorry. It's going to happen in Champaign, and we'll hear the details later on Live and Local today. Hope you'll stay tuned. We just heard a piece called Festive Peel by Karen Thompson. It was performed by the Alleluia Ringers, who are at Concordia University in Wisconsin. And they are going to be playing tonight at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Decatur, a 7:30 concert. And as we speak, they're on the bus headed down there, and I'm talking with the director, whose name is John Banky, who is professor at Concordia. First, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
And how long have you been at Concordia?
This is my 25th year at Concordia.
And you've been directing the Alleluia Ringers that entire time?
That's correct. Yeah, this is the 25th group that we've had. I've actually directed 24 of the years. 1 year was a sabbatical year. But it's exciting to see. Just a few weeks ago, we had actually a reunion concert where former ringers came back to campus, and we had, about 100 some ringers there for the event. It was really quite incredible.
Where do you get that many bells?
The group has 13 students in it each year, and they ring 6 octaves of bells, that's 73 bells, and 6.5 octaves of the hand chimes, which is 79 hand chimes. So there's a total of 152 bells and chimes that these 13 students are ringing.
So you had enough bells then for all of the alumni to play.
Oh, we had added even more sets of bells for them. We had some alumni that brought bells back and found other bells, and had about four choirs of bells being rung at the same time.
Wow, that's incredible. Did you do special arrangements of pieces for that sort of...
Two of the pieces that I had written, we've played over a number of the years, and we brought those two pieces back. Everybody played, and actually they played very well on those two pieces. It was incredible.
It sounded like it must have been an incredible sound.
Oh, yeah. When you combine all those sets of bells together, I think it's a gorgeous sound.
I can imagine needing some earplugs, though.
No, they're not that loud. I mean, nothing's amplified or electrified. I mean, it's just a natural sound and actually a glorious sound. So,
were the Alleluia ringers around before you got to Concordia?
No. I started the group when I came in 1986, and the first group we did not tour. That was not a tour year. We were just getting started and just finding out about the group. And the second year, then we started to make our annual May tour. Right after graduation's out, then we hit the road, and we've gone all sorts of different directions. I mean, we've hit most all the states. We've had 3 tours to Germany and 2 tours to Norway, 1 to Sweden and Estonia, and then 1 year we went to Latvia. So the bells have taken us all sorts of places, more than I ever would have dreamed.
Have you had any particular place where you were especially well received?
Oh, there are many places. I mean, even last night we had a great, great crowd in Naperville and standing ovation and great ovations. I remember one time in Germany where bells are rather unknown in Germany. Actually, you would think that, but these are English bells, and we played, and we had played every one of our encore pieces, and they were still clapping in unison and pounding. And finally, we had nothing else to do but take the processional, where we walk in, memorized, and take it out as a recessional. We actually were like pipers leading the people out of the church, because there's no way else to stop the program. They wanted more and more music. So
you just had to leave.
We just had to leave. And when we finally got out to the city square, they all looked around, and then, oh, we're out. We're done. And it was finally over at that point. The realization took place.
Well, that's, I guess, one of the things I hadn't really thought of. For some reason, I haven't given any thought to how well distributed the tradition of handbells is. Did it originate in England?
England is where the point of origination is, yes, because they were using change ringing patterns up in the towers, you know, like Westminster Abbey has their dum-bum-bum-bum, those types of patterns. And instead of practicing with the real bells in the towers, they would make smaller bells and then take them other places to practice privately. And everyone in England, there's many teams, city teams, that are responsible for those tower patterns, the change ringing patterns. And then they found out, well, we can make lots of music on this. So transcriptions of pieces and hymns and other things were arranged for the bells. And then they came to the United States, oddly enough, by P.T. Barnum. P.T. Barnum, the circus man, came to town, and he took they were a group from Lancashire, England, dressed them up as Swiss bell ringers, and they were called the Swiss bell ringers, and they were actually one of his famous acts that he would take around all of America. He told them not to speak, because as soon as they would speak, and in their English accent, they would know that they weren't from Switzerland. So... And later on, then America started using bells, and I mean, they've become very popular in churches and even now with community choirs throughout the country.
So are they used much in countries outside of England and America?
Well, we have associations of ringers in many, many countries. I mean, throughout Asia, I mean, Japan has a very large contingent of bell ringers. Korea, Singapore, Malaysia, Australia, New Zealand, they all have organizations, guilds, that they have. And also, I mean, Europe too, for that matter. There's some ringers in Germany, not as many, but Israel, trying to think where else, France has some ringers, then up into the Scotland area. So it's quite, you know, I mean, it's quite an international thing. And every 2 years we have an international symposium where ringers from around the world gather. Last year it was actually in Japan, in Osaka, Japan. So, yeah, there's actually ringers all over the world.
I'm talking with John Banky, who is director of the Alleluia Ringers from Concordia University in Wisconsin. They're going to be playing at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Decatur tonight at 7:30. Thought I'd share with our listeners another sample of your work. How about this prelude on Herz Liebster Jesu, a probably pretty familiar hymn tune, which actually leads to the question, how much of what you do is sacred in some way, and how much not?
Well, I'd say it's about, there's a good mix, a good variety mix. We are a Lutheran university, and so yes, there is sacred music that's done, and there'll be hymn arrangements. There's some arrangements of spirituals, but then also original music and transcriptions as well. So, and then at the end, there's even some music which is, a little out of the box, you would say, a piece called Rhythmic Rip that is more like a stomp piece, actually. So, I mean, there's a huge variety, and that's the thing that people would see is the huge variety of sound and of performance of music that can be done on bells and chimes.
Well, here's a sample. It's is it Fred Grammon?
Grammon. And Grammon. He actually is the music director at the American Church in Paris.
Hmm.
Paris, France, right on the Seine River.
And I'm guessing that they must have some handbells there.
Oh, yeah, a very fine choir.
Prelude on Herz Liebster Jesu. We're hearing the Alleluia Ringers from Concordia University here on Live and Local. We just heard the prelude on Herz Liebster Jesu, Fred Grammon's piece, played by the Alleluia Ringers from Concordia University under the direction of Dr. John Banky, who is with us as they're on their bus headed down to Decatur. Where are you coming from?
We were up in Naperville, Illinois last night, played at Bethany Lutheran there. So we're making the trip down 57.
And then where next?
Oh, we're just starting our tour. After Decatur is Kansas City, Missouri, and then to Wichita, Kansas area. Then we have a free night in Tulsa, then to Little Rock, Arkansas, Springfield, Missouri, and then into St. Louis, Missouri before we head home. So we're just starting the tour.
That's a serious amount of driving, too.
Oh, yeah.
How do you line up your performance, places to perform?
Well, over the years, you get to know other people that are ringers and directors, and sometimes there's a connection there. Like, for instance, at St. Paul's, I know both the pastor and the wife of the pastor was actually a former ringer of mine, Amy Marasco. So we're going to actually, you know, meet up with old friends, which is great to do. And that's pretty much the case throughout the travels. There's normally some connection, either a Bell connection or through the university itself, and people that enjoy music and are like, you know, we've heard your group and we want your group to stop by. So,
how often are you making return engagements?
Well, every year we try to head a little different direction if we can. I mean, trying to, every 4 years we go overseas, so every one of the students gets an overseas experience, and then head different directions. Last year was a little further north, up into Minnesota and Iowa. This year, a little further south. Next year, maybe we're talking about heading east some direction.
You have played a number of times with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. What sort of pieces do you do with orchestra, and how's that experience different for the ringers than just doing their own thing?
Well, that's just a tremendous experience. We've done it 6 times to perform. The first time actually was in, 1992, I think it was. And it was Doc Severinsen was the conductor who used to conduct the Tonight Show band. Joining him was Mel Torme and Maureen McGovern. And it came to Milwaukee, and they wanted a bell choir, and they called on us, which was great. And what happened was that National PBS picked it up. So it was aired on TV across the country later on. And what an experience to work with people like that. And you have to be quite spontaneous and flexible, because you never quite know, you know, for TV or for recording purposes, what's necessary. And Doc Severinsen, being the jazz musician that he was, would sometimes come up with very interesting ideas. One year, I remember, he wanted Carol of the Bells, and he said, you know, let's divide up the choir in half and put one there up in this balcony and the other in the other balcony, and we'll do a blacklight effect and just have the white gloves there. So all they would see was the hands, the motion of the hands. And this came to us on Thursday night, and, of course, Friday night we're going to play for the first concert, and, of course, there's, you know, 3,000 people that are in the audience each night. And in a weekend like that, I mean, we can play to 10 or 12,000 people just in a weekend, which is, I mean, it's a huge experience. And to be actually with professional musicians on the stage with the symphony players, they see the professionalism and what they do in their preparations and warm-ups. And it's just a really great camaraderie of musicians, because they really, I mean, honestly, they give... what you say, really fine comments and compliments to the ringers as well, especially the percussion people of the orchestra. They realize how complicated it really is. It's not easy.
Well, I know I've discovered on a couple of uncomfortable occasions just how not easy it is to play a percussion instrument, so I imagine that they would have some sympathy, because playing a handbell has a bit of a trick to it. You don't just... fling the thing and expect it to ring right.
No, the technique is really important, and then you're trying to hit certain subdivisions of a beat, you know, to make the passage run exactly the way it's supposed to, the coordination and the concentration and musicality. I mean, it all has to come together. And that's kind of the magic of the whole thing, that 13 people can present one unified piece. And when it's together like that, it's fun. It's fun to watch.
So how did that work for your students when Doc Severinsen says, okay, let's split up the choir and put you around the hall? That can't be something you're very used to.
Well, we have split up as a choir once in a while, and even tonight we're going to be, the first piece that we play on the program is the choir is split within all the people playing for memory. So it's possible. It just takes a little bit more coordination and a good memory as to what's supposed to be played when.
And a good ear, because I guess you've got to hear across the hall to, as you said earlier,
correct,
subdivide the beat and make sure everybody's together.
Yeah.
And not have a big sound delay.
These students are fine musicians, and we really work at it, and it's quite amazing what they can do.
Well, let's hear a bit more from the Alleluia Ringers. This next piece, called Chanson by Kenneth Loenberg, is actually played on hand chimes instead of hand bells. And about a week or so ago, we heard an explanation of the difference between the two from a member of Bells in Motion based in Springfield. But maybe for those who didn't happen to hear that interview or don't remember the answer, why don't you run it by us again?
Well, hand chimes are just made of a metal alloy, and they actually are like two big tuning forks. But the sound they produce is a mellower sound and a different timbre than the handbell itself, which is, you know, cast out of bronze. So it was a wonderful instrument that highlights melodies or has a different timbre and a beautiful different tone color than the rest, and makes for nice variety in the concert.
Here's a chanson by Kenneth Loenberg, played by the Alleluia Ringers from Concordia University on Live and Local. The Alleluia Ringers performing here, not performing on Live and Local, but you're hearing them on Live and Local, and you can go hear them tonight at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Decatur, concert at 7:30, under the direction of Dr. John Banke, who's with me on the phone right now as they're on their bus headed down to Decatur from Naperville, I think you said, right?
That's correct.
And I mentioned Bells in Motion here in Springfield. Is that a group you've heard of by any chance?
Oh, yes. I mean, they're another fine bell choir. And like us, I mean, that group and our group have both played at national seminars for the Handbell Guild. So, I mean, you get to know other directors and you know the people that are working in the areas, of course.
What made you decide 25 years ago to start a handbell choir at Concordia?
Well, prior to that, I was a church musician, and overnight, I went from the organist and choir director to the bell director because a set of bells was given to the church, and so then I had to do something with it. And I remember that I knew that in a local church, in a neighboring church, that I could, they had a bell choir, so I went to talk to that director. And I remember he said, "Oh, I got about 30 minutes. Come on over, and I'll, you know, tell you what I know," which he did. And then he said, "Oh, here's the music library. You can look through that." And then he said, "Oh, by the way, there's this group called the American Guild of English Handbell Ringers, and that might be another organization that could help you." So I remember that summer I went off to their national convention, and that was just fabulous. That was really a big help for me.
So that was when you started the choir at the church or at the university, or was it simultaneous?
No, that was at the church. And that was probably, I'd say, 15 years prior to the university when I started there.
And so when you got to the university, you just had fallen in love enough with the handbell sound? Or, you know, why not just drop the idea?
I very much enjoyed the bells. So wanted to continue that. And for church musicians or training people that might be in a church, that they might encounter bells at some time.
What do the students who are in the bell choir, what do they do otherwise at Concordia? Are they from around the university? Are they mostly music people?
Some are music majors, but not all. I mean, some are in business, some are in nursing. We have some in as teachers in history. Biomedical sciences, education. It's a whole variety, but they all, most have played bells before at some place, either church or school, and have heard about the choir at Concordia and decided to come and audition for it.
So its reputation has grown a bit since you've been there.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that's fair to say.
And folks can go hear the prowess, so to speak, of the Alleluia Ringers from Concordia tonight at 7:30, St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Decatur. And you can look on their website for directions and so on. I actually didn't see any mention of this concert on their website, unfortunately. But you can certainly get contact information and directions to the church, St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Decatur. John Benke is their director, and I've appreciated very much your taking the time to talk with us here on Live and Local.
My pleasure, Kevin. Thank you very much.
You want to introduce our last piece here?
Oh, our last piece is a fun piece. It's called Hava Nagila. It's a setting by Douglas Floyd Smith. And if they come tonight, they're going to really see some ringers have fun with this piece.
So all the pieces we're hearing today will be on the program tonight?
Correct.
Plus a whole lot more.
Yep.
Thanks very much for joining us, and thanks for listening, everyone. Here is Hava Nagila, played by the Alleluia Ringers from Concordia University in Wisconsin, on Live and Local. Thank you. Setting of the tune called Hava Nagila, and I think that was made by Douglas Floyd Smith, is what John Benke told us. He's the director of the Alleluia Ringers, who just performed there, and you can hear them at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Decatur tonight at 7:30. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and our broadcast today is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan rug dealer, featuring the Antique Legends collection, rugs of legendary design with a subtle vintage patina. Sweeney Brothers at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. My next guest on Live and Local is Jody Prosser, who is somebody I've known a little bit for a long time, I think, and somehow or another through musical theater connections, I think. I sort of lose track of who I know from where, but it's in the context of musical theater that we're going to have our conversation. This portion of the show, she and Chris Holman are co-directing a summer youth theater camp specifically. Well, is it specifically, Jody, musical theater or just generally theater?
It is musical theater.
Which is the best kind of theater, of course.
No. Absolutely.
It depends your point of view. But that's going to be from the 6th through the 24th of June in Champaign at St. Peter's United Church of Christ. And thanks for joining us on the show.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for letting me know about this also. Otherwise, I wouldn't have probably if you hadn't have Facebooked me, I guess.
Facebook is a wonderful thing. I resisted it for so long, and now, you know, look at the wonderful things that's happening because of it. So.
Well, I still resist Facebook. The only reason I even got your message is they're kind enough to, if you have a Facebook account, actually send you an email if somebody sends you a Facebook message.
Exactly.
Otherwise, I would never see my Facebook messages. So how did you get into the summer musical theater camp business?
Oh, my. That goes way back. I have been doing theater since the ripe old age of 8. And I'm 45, so you do the math, and really got bitten by that pretty hard, and lived in Villa Grove as a child, and a group of people started a community theater there when I was probably 12, something like that. And the very second show that they did was Oklahoma, and Don Decker and his then-wife Barb had come down to be the director and music director, and that's how I met them, and, you know, did a summer show and had a blast, and I ended up moving back up to Champaign, going to high school. Don was my high school director. He got me very excited on a daily basis about music and theater, so when I went to Eastern, it's what I studied, and they had a Summer of Excellence program where you could work with children and teach them a short show. I think it was 30 to 45 minutes long, and I had to be the assistant director. I had to apply for it. Had incredible amounts of fun. Through that, got hooked up with Jody Meisner, who is now Jody Kinsler, but she directed a preparatory choir fourth through sixth grade girls. There were about a dozen of them, I believe, and she asked me to be choreographer. And when they did Return to Oz, I stage directed and choreographed and did the lighting and, you know, all kinds of things for that. And realized, and, you know, I was 19, 20 years old, and I realized that I really liked working with kids, and I never knew that. I was the youngest of six kids, and so I didn't really have a lot of experience with that. I had no idea that that was, you know, something I would enjoy so much. And then got married and had four of my own, and introduced them into theater by directing a lot of children's shows. I directed three of the four kind of inaugural children's shows for Villagrove Community Theater back in the early 90s. And then they became ArtCo later and moved to Tuscola. And I've done several camps for them, plus directed some family shows like Oliver, Beauty and the Beast, things that incorporate lots of kids. And my kids attended Holy Cross School. I directed six shows for Holy Cross, 6 years in a row for their spring musicals, as well as I had my own group, kind of studio group. It was called The Play Group, and I did a lot of private theater instruction in my home, but I also did a lot of camps, and Holy Cross was kind enough to let me use their facility to then do summer camps there, both show choir and musical theater. So I directed, I don't know, five or six there. Then I got hired at the High School St. Thomas More, directed for 6 years there, and did some summer camps for them. So it just kind of keeps evolving. And last year I worked, well, actually I guess it's been about a year and a half ago, I worked for Community United Church of Christ. And I was the children's choir director and an alto soloist. And the late Bob Smith at the time was the adult choir director. And I had worked with him in Secret Garden for CUTC when I had played Rose and he was the music director.
Champaign Urban Theater Company.
Yes, yes. So that's how I knew him. And he asked me if I would be willing to do a summer camp there because he had done it for several years and just wasn't able to. And he kind of passed along his insights to me and how he approached things. And so I combined my knowledge of doing this for so many years and then kind of his format and how he did things and made something that was our very own. And we put together a show based on diversity and how people are just people no matter where they come from, you know, race, religion, color, whatever. Everybody, you know, is the same in so many ways. And the kids developed their own show around songs that I was able to find, recordings that I was able to find that kind of tied all that together. They wrote their own script. They performed for a few nursing homes. They performed for their families. It was a great experience. It was a 2-week camp. This one will be 3. But it was the first time for me that I had done that type of thing where the show developed as it went. I had done plenty of canned shows, if you will, from MTI or Pioneer Drama, things like Aladdin Jr. or Nifty 50s, you know, that sort of thing. And this was my first experience with that and loved it. We had more fun than should be allowed.
So that was just last summer?
It was just last summer, yes. And since that time, I've been hired at St. Peter's United Church of Christ as the adult choir director. And so I am now doing a similar program for them this summer. They have a great facility in their lower level with a stage and the whole deal, so it's very nice. And we have several kids already signed up, and there's plenty of time to continue to sign up. So, last year we ended up, our show ended up being called True Colors. So we used that song that was by Cyndi Lauper. We also used some Disney pieces, and we used a few pieces that are in other small shows that you can get through Hal Leonard, one of them being On Common Ground, and which basically was the exact theme that we were looking for, you know, what we all have in common. They created the sets themselves, all the props themselves. I mean, it was just a really fabulous experience. So I'm looking forward to another summer of that.
Well, we'll hear some more details in a minute, but let's play that song you just mentioned, On Common Ground. So this was one that got incorporated into last year's show, or
yes,
was just used as a inspiration, or both?
No, we actually, both. We actually used this one.
Okay. We're talking with Jody Prosser, who's co-directing a summer youth musical theater camp starting June 6th in Champaign. And this is Live and Local. On Common Ground, the name of that song, and comes from a disc from Hal Leonard Publishing, which doesn't credit the performers, actually, so we can't tell you who that is. However, it's a song that was used in a summer youth musical theater camp that was directed by Jody Prosser last year with the theme of True Colors, sort of multicultural, multi-generational, multi-every kind of person sort of theme. And Jody is with us here on Live and Local to talk about this coming summer's Youth Musical Theater Camp, which is going to be happening from June 6th through the 24th at St. Peter's United Church of Christ in Champaign. And Jody, I think your email somewhere along the line said that you're co-directing this with Chris Holman.
Yes, I am.
And who's Chris and how do you know him?
Everybody should know Chris.
Because well, I've met Chris,
he's a really wonderful young man. Chris Holman is just finished up his freshman year at the University of Illinois as an organ performance major. But he's so much more than that. The man can sing like you have no idea and plays several different instruments and is just brilliant. And I've known him since he was 14, so really not all that long, but it seems like a long time. I met him because he attended the High School of St. Thomas More at the time that I was the drama director there. And so I've directed him in plenty of things, worked with him a lot. During that time, I worked for a church in Mahomet. I needed accompanists. I roped him into that. He kind of became the accompanist and sort of co-director of our teen choir out there for quite a while. And then he began working for St. Peter's a year or so before I did as their organist. And when the choir director position came up, he's actually who contacted me and how I got the job. So we just kind of keep crossing paths and working together. And I hope that continues for a long time, although he's going to go on and do big and wonderful things, I'm sure.
Well, I've never heard him play the organ, but I've heard he's quite a fine player.
He's incredible. He's won like national competitions already, you know, and he's going to be 19 this month. It's kind of crazy, but he's awesome, and he works really well with kids, and I don't think he knew, kind of like I didn't. He's an only child, and I don't think he had any idea that he had that ability, you know, so it's been really great watching him grow as well.
Are you going to have a particular theme, or have you set a theme for this summer's camp?
We are. Quite different from last year, actually. We are doing both above and under the sea type of things. So there will be pirates, there will be mermaids, there will be fish, there will be ships, treasure, all sorts of things. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we are once again incorporating songs from many different shows and locations, so to speak, and we're also going to have them do some of their own. I was inspired by a man that I found in online, but he lives in Australia, actually, and his name is Patrick Carswell. He has a company called Visage, I don't know, anyway, Entertainment, and I had him send me his CD of Treasure Island, the musical. And what he did for several of his songs is parody. Like one of them is to Copacabana, but it's Treasure Island. And so listening to that and thinking back to the silly holiday that started 9 or so years ago called National Talk Like a Pirate Day on September 19th. Don't know if you're aware of that.
I have heard of that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I got online. I found all sorts of stuff, you know, fun phrases and activities and things you can do. So we decided that while there's not necessarily a specific message along with that, that may develop just like last year's camp kind of developed on its own. But we're starting out with pirates and mermaids and all kinds of fun. And, you know, going to have them do things like, as an example, mine's really bad because I'm not as creative as the kids. That's why I like working with them. It's really fun to see what they can come up with. I just give them an idea and they run with it. But as an idea, if you take a Christmas tune that, you know and love, like Deck the Halls, let's say, and then you look on these websites for pirate words and pirate phrases like swab the deck and ahoy, you mateys, and things like this, you can make silly songs with it. And so that's part of what we're going to be doing is creating some of our own silly songs. I will give you a really bad example.
I was going to ask if you had a good or bad example.
Yeah, this is really bad. This is to the tune of Deck the Halls. And this is as if the captain were singing to his crew. Okay? So, swab the deck, you bloody pirates. Yo-ho-ho-ho-ho. Yo-ho-ho. Arg. Or as captain, I'll get irate. Yo-ho-ho-ho-ho. Yo-ho-ho. Arg. And throw you in the brig so dank. Yo-ho-ho. Yo-ho-ho. Yo-ho. Arg. Or maybe make you walk the plank. Yo-ho-ho-ho-ho. Yo-ho-ho. Arg.
You know, I do remember National Talk Like a Pirate Day because I think I looked up, you know, some of these phrases, including "arr," and I read somewhere that pirates didn't really say that. The only pirate who started that, was the character of Long John Silver in the Disney version of Treasure Island.
Yes.
Or so I read.
Yes, yes. And it has become
and it
this
all got started there.
Phenomenon. And they, you know, now they say fun things like, you know, ahoy, you mateys.
And avast there, so-and-so.
Exactly.
So they'll be developing their own show again this year.
Basically.
Pretty much.
Yes, yes. By using some things that already exist and some things that they create themselves. And then we compile it and they create their own props and some of the costumes, some things I have and some things they make. It's a lot of fun. We have people who come in and do workshop days. So maybe someone will come in that's an expert in stage makeup, do some demonstrations for them, and then let them try some things themselves. We have a day usually where we face paint and they pick partners, and that's always fun. And, you know, the things they end up this year, they're going to be face painting, you know, things that would be, as I said, both over or under the sea. So, you know, make you look like a fish or an octopus or a pirate or whatever, you know. So that'll be, you know, one of the activities. We're probably going to do a little bit of a treasure hunt for some fun.
That sounds like you'd have to.
Yeah, exactly. It just calls for it. And then I have a few friends in the business that come in and do the technical side of things with them, teach them about lighting, set building, sound, that sort of thing. My best friend, Laura Arwine, comes in every year. She's such a trooper, and she does the costume workshop with them and talks to them about the history of costume, how it developed. She brings some examples. They draw some of their own costume renderings and ideas that they have for their characters. And as I said, it's just it's a lot of fun and something I wish I could do much more often.
I'll ask you this again later, but how does one sign up for this camp?
Oh, well, there are many ways. The easiest thing to do, actually, is to find the event on Facebook if you are a Facebook-friendly person, because there is an event page, and that's how a lot of people have found out about it. And then on there, you just contact me, and then I can email you the forms. The other way is to call St. Peter's United Church of Christ, talk to Mary, who is the secretary in the office, and she would certainly, you know, get you in contact with me. You can email me. I have a strange email address. It is zonironi66@aol.com. That's Zony Roney.
Zony Roney, yeah.
Yes, that has its own story. But anyway, you can email me. I can email you the forms. If you don't have email, as I said, you can call the church. She can put you in contact with me, and I can mail it to you. So there's plenty of ways to get signed up. And we take kids right up until camp starts. We don't have a deadline on it. If they walk in the day we begin and want to sign up, we take them.
It's the Summer Youth Musical Theater Camp happening at St. Peter's United Church of Christ in Champaign, the 6th through the 24th of June. Co-director Jody Prosser is with us here on Live and Local. And we have a song next that you told me was the version of the song used in the television show called Glee, which I confessed that I have only seen part of once, and you confessed that you've only seen it part of, well, some number of times, but so we're not exactly followers of this show in any close way, but a lot of kids are.
Yes, I believe they're
to say
called
the very least.
Gleeks.
Oh, is that right?
Instead of geeks, yes. If you're a big follower, you're a gleek. Apparently, we're not.
But can we say that if you like Glee, you might be might enjoy this camp?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because it's a similar idea where, for me, it kind of harkens way back to like a Mickey and Judy, you know, let's get a cardboard box and a sheet and make a stage and let's put on a show, you know, type of thing. Glee is that way. They just make something out of nothing. Of course, they're all trained voices and it's amazing what they do. But it's kids creating song and dance and emotion and fun together. And so you would definitely enjoy camp if you like that sort of thing. And the song that we used the Glee version of last summer was Lean On Me, because it also talked about, you know, friendship and being there for one another. And as I said, our theme was, you know, the common ground and the true colors and everybody finding something that they enjoyed about the next person and why. And they all became very close. And so they actually chose this piece and wanted to add it in. Hum, 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 yeah, yeah, hum, 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 yeah, hum, 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 hum. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, and we all have sorrow.
Heard in connection with the show Glee here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, and sort of by way of invitation, continued invitation to consider signing up your child or signing up yourself, depending upon how old you are, for the Summer Youth Musical Theater Camp that Jody Prosser and Chris Holman are directing next month, June 6th through the 24th, and we'll give you contact info again in just a moment. I want to tell you some events you can go out and see and hear live in our listening area over the next couple of days. James Armstrong is playing the blues at the Alamo in Springfield tonight at 8:30. It's Frank Parker's Jambalaya Jazz Jam at the Brewhouse in Springfield. That's tonight at 5:30. Monty Python's Spamalot is being presented at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield. These seem to be all Springfield things so far. It's 7:30 tomorrow night, and I expect to have an interview on tomorrow's show about that. We'll do that on Live and Local during the noon hour. It's the Parkland Jazz Ensemble tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. And Old Number 7 plays bluegrass and blues at their weekly gig at the Rose Bowl in downtown Urbana. That's tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock. And the MacArthur High School Jazz Concert is at the Decatur Civic Center tomorrow evening at 7:30. And if you'd like to let us know about events you're involved with or know about, by all means, send me an email at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar at illinois.edu. Support for our show today comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. Forecast calls for a sunny afternoon with a high temperature of 60 degrees. It'll be mostly clear tonight, the low 38, and tomorrow partly sunny with a high around 62. We're currently at, had to look underneath the screen here, 58 degrees, coming up on, well, a little bit after 12, 58. And Jody, what is the age range for kids who are welcome to this program? I neglected to ask that earlier.
That's okay. School-aged children, so kindergarten through 12th. And what usually ends up happening is that the high school students end up almost becoming assistants, if you will. They help the younger kids. They kind of partner up with the younger kids, help them learn the dances, learn their lines, that type of thing. So they're mentors, you know. But yeah, it's anybody who is kindergarten through 12th grade.
And again, for information, your email address is?
zonironi66@aol.com. That's Z-O-N-I-R-O-N-I, 66.
I'll ask you the reason for that off mic, because I am kind of curious.
Okay.
First time I saw that. And if you want to make a phone call instead, you can contact St. Peter's United Church of Christ in Champaign, which is where the camp will be held, June 6th through the 24th. Area 217-356-3635. And you have two separate sessions, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, and then this special after camp program from 3 to 5:30. Want
yes.
to talk about that in
sure.
15 seconds?
Sure. The after camp program will be run by the pastor of the church where we are hosting this camp, and it will be fun activities that are based on the themes of what we've done that day at camp. So we'll work very closely together, and she has lots of volunteers to help her. But it'll be mainly, you know, less theater and more projects, craft projects and games and, you know, that sort of thing to finish out the day for those who their parents work and, you know, they need someplace for them to be the entire day. So we're providing that as well.
But not necessarily religiously based.
Nope.
She just happens to be a pastor in this context.
She's the pastor of the church where we're holding it, and she likes the idea of this sort of thing being held there.
Thanks very much, Jody. Thanks for joining us and letting us know about the camp.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYLFM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, WYLL's member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.